Turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Wanted to remind everyone about the loss of the family of Miss Jean. Her sister's son passed away last week, and wanted to remind everyone of that. They'll be making arrangements this week, I believe Miss Carol said, and so we'll let everyone know when we know about that. If you could have and enjoy one blessing in this life, what would it be? Only one. You can only have one blessing. So if you could have one thing to have and enjoy, to be assured of and never lose, what would it be? Now, I know you're the Sunday night crowd. You're hardcore and you're true believers, and I know it's salvation. Okay, I got that. But more specifically than that, what would it be? You know, when I was a young man, like most young people, I guess, for me it was material things. If I could have chosen one thing when I was younger, it would have been to have wealth and plenty to enjoy, and a nice car and a big house and TV and video games and all that sort of thing. Of course, back then video games was Atari, and then it was Nintendo, and wasn't quite the fancy stuff it is today. But anyway, that's what it was. And then I realized eventually that really doesn't, it's not that big a deal. It doesn't make you that happy. And so really wanted a family, get married, have kids. Still a big deal to me. I have those things, and that's very important to me. And then sort of later on, I thought, well, maybe happiness, right? And not just happiness like contentment, but happiness like excitement, having fun, going and doing things, traveling and having lots of adventure. Maybe that's what I want. Maybe that's what I would choose, just this excited happiness all the time. And then eventually I realized that if I could have, again, salvation is a given, but if I could have one blessing, if I could ask God and be guaranteed to have one thing and enjoy it and possess it and never lose it, the thing that I would choose would be peace. That's what I would choose. Because when you have peace, you can handle everything else. When you have peace, everything else is manageable, at least. And so our text for tonight is about peace, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16, where Paul says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance." I did some looking through 2 Thessalonians and realized something that I don't know that I'd ever noticed before. 2 Thessalonians begins and ends with a prayer for peace. Paul starts out, as he always does in the letters, with a prayer for peace. Grace and peace to you. That's a prayer for us to experience grace and peace. Sort of a combination of the Gentile way of looking at spiritual blessing, grace, and the Hebrew way of looking at spiritual blessing, peace. And he starts off with that almost invariably. And I did some more looking and found out that he ends his letters with a prayer for peace about half the time. About half the time. He ends with a prayer for peace, or a reference to peace, probably more than half the time. 1 Thessalonians is the same way. 1 Thessalonians begins with a prayer for peace and ends with a prayer for peace. What do you imagine that says about the Thessalonians? They needed peace, right? If Paul is talking to the Thessalonians and he starts out saying, "I'm praying peace for you," and he talks and does his thing and goes through, and then at the end he says, I'm praying peace for you. It's a pretty good sign that they had a lot of challenges, and in fact, they did. Just 2 Thessalonians alone talks about the internal challenges within the church that they were experiencing. They had Christians who were misbehaving. They were not following the rules the way that they were supposed to. And because of that, the church is going to have to address it in a really hard way. And that's always unpleasant. It's always sad and threatens a lot of anger and ugliness when you have to do that. So they've got internal challenges. They've also got external challenges, the Thessalonian church does. These are all from 2 Thessalonians. Persecution. They were enduring suffering because of their faith. They were the victims of targeted, malicious, false teaching. Someone or someones had targeted them with false messages from the apostles. I mean, that's vicious to write a letter or do some sort of communication to intentionally lead them astray by saying that this is from Paul. They were also had been warned about coming world trouble. Things are about to get spiritually more difficult, or at least would at some point in the future. So the Thessalonians really have a lot of challenges that they're dealing with. Because of that, they needed peace. And so Paul starts the letter by saying, I'm praying peace for you. And he ends the letter by saying, I'm praying peace for you. And the reason that that's important for us is because we need peace. When you think about the world that we live in and the nation that we live in, Jay was talking about some things he and I guess he and Carol had been watching on the news and about some of the stuff going on in Washington, and it's just a mess, isn't it? Isn't the world just a mess? Just a complete disaster, the world? And not to mention the things that this afternoon I was sort of going through the pews and thinking about what everybody is dealing with and thinking about in our little congregation here about the challenges that we're dealing with. There aren't many of us that have children who are not struggling with some sort of worry about our kids. There are not many of us. And if not, even not even children, but if you have nieces or nephews or grandchildren, there aren't many of us that have kids in our families that we're not worried about, either because they're away from home for the first time, they're away from the Lord, some of them, or we're worried they're going that way or will go that way. We're worried, some of them, about their health. We're worried about their behavior. We're worried about their friends. We're worried about their financial situation. We're worried about their future. There aren't many of us that have kids or grandkids that are worry-free, right? We're worried about all kinds of things. We have a lot of health concerns. You know, we're worried about our own health. Those of us who are getting older, Bill was talking this morning, mentioned as we were singing a song. I can't remember what the song was, but we were singing a song this morning, and he said, you know, the older I get, the more I think about the time is coming. You know, and you get older, you think about that. Some of us have health concerns, right? Some of us have health problems. It's just constant, chronic health problem. Some of us have people we love that have health problems. You know, this thing with Brother Richard, who knows how that's going to turn out? At his age, in his condition, we just have all these things. And some of us have money problems. Some of us worry about money. Some of us are worried that we're not going to have enough money. Some of us are having marriage problems or other relationship problems, right? Maybe they're extremely severe. Maybe they're not severe, but there's no marriage problem that's easy, right? They're all difficult. Some of us have that. Some of us are dealing with problems at work, whether it's overwork or stress at work or drama at work or some work or school issue. Some of us are struggling with sin and temptation. Some of us are carrying church issues, particularly our elders are carrying church issues. And I mean, I don't know that there's anything major at the moment, but they always are. Right? This is a constant for them and for many of us. And so when you think about just our little church here, we're just shot through with problems and concerns and issues. All of us have something going on, and so we need peace. So when we talk about peace, what are we talking about? What is peace? Well, peace has two ways that we need to look at it. So peace has an internal component contrasted with an external component. So there's an internal contrast with an external. So here's what peace is, at least my understanding of peace. Peace is internal calm and security independent of external circumstances. That's what peace is. And we can use it in different ways. You know, we can talk about peace in the absence of conflict, peace in the absence of suffering. Those things are never going to be perfectly true. And so if we're going to have real peace, then the peace we're talking about is internal calm and security. I feel okay inside, even though everything outside is not perfect. So inside, I'm handling it, even though things outside are not ideal or not the way that I want them to be. And so what we're going to see in this verse is three things. Number one, the possibility of peace. Number two, the source of peace. And number three, how do we get the peace from the source of it? From 2 Thessalonians 3:16. So let's start with the possibility of peace. This is crucial because if you don't believe you can have it, then what? You'll never have it. A lot of people don't think they can ever have peace. I talk to people all the time. Literally talk to people all the time who believe that in their situation, they cannot have peace. I'm not judging that. I'm not criticizing that. Because I have been, and occasionally still am, the person who thinks I'll never have peace again. There's no way that I can be in this situation and have peace. So I'm not judging that. But as long as a person believes peace for me is not possible, then what? Peace is not possible. I think it was Henry Ford who said, whether you believe you can or believe you can't, either way, you're right. That's true. If you think you can't do something, then you're done. But that's not exactly what we're talking about here. For this, I would put it this way. Whether you think he can or he can't, either way, you're right. For you. If you think that God can't give you peace, then he can't. Because you can't receive it. You can't accept it. You can't attain it because you don't believe in it. But when we believe in the possibility of peace, peace becomes possible. Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world you have tribulation, and that's all we're going to have. That's all we're ever going to have in the world. There is not one thing in this world that will ever be the source of perfect peace. Everything in your life will cause you trouble at some point. It may be awesome. You know, you may have an awesome marriage, but it ain't perfect. You may have good health, but it's not perfect. You may have your house and car just the way you like it, but it's not perfect. In the world, the things of the world will always cause distress, but Jesus said, take courage, because I have overcome the world. In me, you have peace. And so Jesus is trying to get us to understand that peace is possible. Look again at what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. Did you see the word continual? This is why when we read the Bible, we have to slow down and look at every single word. Did you see the word continual? Paul said, may you continually. What does that mean? What does continually mean? It means all the time. It means starting now and never not having it. Continual peace. In what? How many circumstances? Every circumstance. Now, all of us have an objection to that. All of us are like a lawyer in a courtroom on that one. Your Honor, I object. There may be peace in most situations, but God, I've got one that's not going to work. We all have that. If I asked you, what are the top five, and studies repeatedly show this, top five life stressors, the top five most stressful situations in life. You ever seen that study? Ever seen that list? You know, it's on the. It's an interesting list. Some of it's obvious. Some of it not so much. And so this list, these are always the same. Every study, always the same. Top five. Number one, obviously, death of a loved one. Obviously. Number two, divorce. Makes perfect sense. Number three always surprises me. Always surprised at number three. Moving. Now, then I move and I'm like, oh yeah, okay, of course, right? Moving is stressful. A major illness or injury and loss of a job. So those are the top five things in life that are most stressful. A loved one dies. Maybe your most important loved one, your spouse, maybe a child, maybe for you a parent, dies. And Paul said, may God continually grant you peace in what? Every circumstance. Even the death of a loved one? Even a divorce? Even a move. And you ever thought about how many of these things often go together? You ever think about how many times not just one of them hits you, but multiple? You ever think about when someone gets a divorce, very often they have to move? That's two. That's two at the same time. Or someone has an injury or a major illness and they lose their job. That's two at the same time. One is bad enough, then you get two. Or three. But what did Paul say? Paul said, may the Lord give you continual peace in every circumstance. Our job is to believe that it is possible. That's why that passage this morning, Tracy said, when we got home from church this morning, Tracy said, I'm going to be that lady you were talking about who accosted you about the Bible study sermon. She said, you keep telling us to write in our Bibles. Genesis 15:6. Write in your Bible. Write in your Bible. Write what? What am I supposed to write? You always tell us to write, but never want to write. Genesis 15:6. Just underline it. Just to start with that. We'll just underline it. Genesis 15:6 says, don't mess with me. So Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God and it was counted him as righteous. That's why this passage is so important. Because walking by faith means believing what? What God tells you that's impossible to believe. Walking by faith is not simply reading the rule book and then doing it. Walking by faith is not simply doing the church thing and being good. Walking by faith means reading what God said, continual peace in every circumstance, and saying, I'm struggling right now, but I'm going to trust that. I'm going to believe. That's what walking by faith is. Walking by faith means believing what God said that seems impossible. Someone I love has died. I've had to move. I've lost my health. I've lost my job. But God said, I can have peace in every circumstance. I'm going to choose to believe that. That's walking by faith. That's what it means. That's what Abraham did. When God said to that old coot and his old coot of a wife, you're going to what? Have kids. Well, we read that like, well, I mean, we know how it ended up, so it's no big deal to us. Right? We don't think about that. We know that they have kids. They didn't know that. And they're getting old. They started getting Social Security. They're on Medup, whatever that is when you get that old. Right? They get the senior discount. And God's telling them they're going to have kids. We don't read that and really get that. But God said to Abraham, Abraham, at your advanced age, when men don't make babies anymore, you're going to have a son. Abraham believed God. You've lost someone you love, going through a divorce, having to move, suffering a major illness, losing a job. May God continually grant you peace in every circumstance. I choose to believe that it's possible. Until you do, it isn't. That's our first job, is to believe that it's possible. And of course, the source of peace, that's an easy one. The source of peace is the Lord of peace. What does that mean, that He is the Lord of peace? Well, first of all, it means that He Himself has peace. It's a big deal. Because when the one who's in charge loses it, what happens to the people under him or her? When the boss loses it, when the boss starts to panic, what happens to the employees? When the coach starts to lose it, right? If the players see, I can't tell you how many times on the sideline, football, basketball, in the dugout in baseball, I was losing it. I had no clue what I was going to do. I had no idea how to handle a game situation. But I didn't just lay on the floor and lose grip. Oh, what are we going to do? I don't know. You can't do that. You have to hold it together. You have to look like that you know what's going on, even though you don't. Parents know this. Parents can't lose grip, right? Because when the one in charge loses grip, everybody loses grip. Well, with God, it's not just looking like He's got it together. He really does. He never worries. God never goes, oh man, boy, I didn't see that one coming. I don't know what to do here. He has peace, and of course, He is the giver of peace. So the question is, how do we get it? What is the means of receiving the peace of God? I will tell you, I'm just going to warn you ahead of time. It's all stuff you don't want to do when you don't have peace. I'm just going to tell you ahead of time. The things that you have to do to get peace are things you don't want to do when you don't have it. Isn't that always the case? Did you know that, you do know this, I'm sure, generally speaking, in the absence of some health issue, generally speaking, when people lack energy, I'm not talking about health issues, but a healthy person, when people lack energy, do you know what the answer to lacking energy is? You know what will give you energy? Exercise. What do you not feel like doing? Exercising. Isn't that, why did God make it that way? Why did God do that? Why is it that when you're lethargic and you lack energy, the answer is go exercise? Why is it that when you're lonely or crabby or sad and you don't want to be around anybody, why is it that the answer is usually what? You need friends. You need to go do something fun with somebody. Isn't that weird? It's the same thing. I'm just going to tell you, you're not going to want to hear. When you don't have peace, you're not going to like the answer to getting it. You're just not. But this is what the answer is. Prayer, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, that's what he's doing, right? Now may God give you peace. What is that? It's prayer. And so if Paul is praying for it, we need to be praying for it. How often do you not feel like praying? How often do you not feel like praying? A friend of mine told me one time he and his wife got into a big fight, and they were arguing about something, and she said, "We need to pray about this." And he said, and I yelled back at her, "I don't feel like praying." That's the way that goes. When you need to pray, you don't feel like it. If you don't feel like praying, you need to pray. Right? If you are lacking peace at this moment, how much are you praying about it? How much are you praying for it? Now, hang on a second. I know somebody's going, "I'm praying all the time for it, and I still don't have it. So what now?" We're getting there. Okay, but praying about it. Number two, reading your Bible. Right? Reading your Bible. You don't have peace. You're anxious, worried, upset. You don't feel like reading the Bible. It's what you ought to do. It's the answer to it. You're lacking peace. What is the answer to it? Fellowship with other Christians. When you're lacking peace, what do you not want? Fellowship with other Christians. When you're sad, you don't want to go to church. When you're angry, you don't want to go to church. When you're upset, you don't want to go to church. When you got all this stuff going on, the last thing you do want to do is go to church. Go to church. Why do those things work? Because God is the giver of peace. When you're praying, you're talking to Him. When you're reading the Bible, you're listening to Him. When you're with the church, you're with Him. And so if He's the source of it, then you need to get as much of Him as you can, and that's how we do it. And another thing, awareness of the world that God has made. Being aware of the world. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6? Do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink. What did He say to do about it? He said, look. Look at what? Look at the birds and look at the flowers. Right? That's what He said. He said, when you're worried, go look at nature. Now, there's part of this, so this is a little bit off topic, but I think it's related, and I think it's important. A lot of studies about getting out in nature and its connection to your mental health. If you get out in nature, if you go outside and do things outside, you already know this. It makes you feel better. What makes you feel worse? Staying in the house with the blinds drawn on a screen. You know how much screen time the average person gets every day? 10 hours of screen time a day. What are some of the benefits? So notice this. What are some of the benefits? Improving your mood. Reducing stress and anger. Feeling more relaxed. Improving confidence and self-esteem. And reducing loneliness. What do those things contribute to? Peace. Peace. Get outside. Now, I know that's not what Jesus was saying, and I'm not trying to take Him out of context. But this is part of it. Part of your peace comes from going outside in what God has made. If you do it, you know it. If you go fishing, like Ray and Debbie, or you go running like John or myself, or you go hunting like Ty or Bill, or you go for a walk in your neighborhood, you already know this. You always feel better when you come back. And so Jesus said, while you're out there, right, because He made you to be outside. So Jesus said, hey, while you're out there, look around. Look at the birds and just watch them for a minute and see if any of the birds are going, "Well, I'm worried about this winter. in their little bird voice. It would be chirpier than that. And I don't know that they could get their little wing up there to do that, but you understand what I'm saying. You don't see the flowers worrying. Oh, I'm going to get petals this year. It's going to happen. So, do what God said to do in order to gain more peace. Right? He gave us a process and things to do. So, we're going to wrap that up in a minute. Let me mention this to you. This Wednesday, we're starting a new quarter, Lord willing. Really excited about this. Prophecies and types of Jesus. The first thing we're going to look at is Genesis 3:15. And so you can look at that and be ready for Wednesday night as we start a new quarter, Genesis 3:15. But for now, we'll wrap up. And our invitation song, Neil, was what? Take your time. 564. So you can go ahead and pull that out. 564 will be our invitation song. So here's what we've been talking about, right? Peace is possible. If you don't believe that, you can't have it. It begins with believing that peace is possible, knowing where to get it, and knowing how to get it. Right? Makes sense. But here's what we have to do with all of that. We've got to trust the process. The process for gaining peace is praying about it, studying the Bible, being with the church, and looking around at the world and trusting God because of what God does in the world. That's the process. That's it. We've got to trust it and not give up on it. And not doubt it. We've got to trust that it will work, and then we've got to work it. We've got to do the praying, and the studying, and the attending, and the walking, or whatever that is we're doing outside. And then, the worst part of it, we got to wait on it. That's the worst part of it. But there's no way around it. I can't tell you how many times in the Bible God says to wait. Boy, I hate that. I am not a good waiter. I am not a good waiter. You're probably not either. But that's what living by faith means. Living by faith means trusting the process that God has revealed, working the process, and waiting on the results of the process. If you right now are fairly blessed with peace, let me add one thing to that. And that is, get ahead of the process. The time to save for retirement is not retirement. That's not the time to save for retirement. I'm going to retire tomorrow. I'm going to start saving. The time to board up the house, Ray, for a hurricane is not during the hurricane. It'll blow you right off of that ladder with that big piece of plywood right there. It's not the time, right? The time to lay in or prepare or get ready is when things are going well. The problem for a lot of us is when things are going well, we're just doing our own thing, and then trouble hits. We're like, oh man, I need peace. Well, we should have been preparing for it. How do we do that? Prayer, study, church, and awareness. And so it's the same thing. So if right now you are not lacking peace, get ahead of it. If you are, and several of us are, you're not alone. If you're lacking peace, trust the process. work the process, and wait on God to fulfill His promise. Part of that process is letting us help you. That's part of the process. And so tonight, if we can help with that, we'd love to. We'd love to sit down and talk with you, pray with you, study with you, visit you, whatever. All right, but we can't do anything unless you're open to that and tell us what's going on. And so we'd love to help. While we're singing the song, you're thinking about your own situation, you realize something needs to be done, then just make the decision and stop thinking about it. Do something about it and let us know. We can talk privately after church, or you can come forward and take a seat on the front as we stand and sing.